Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. Today we're in Romans 8, but before we go there, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, I thank you for this day and for all that you've done, the many blessings you've bestowed on us and the way you love us and you care for us. You are the creator of all, and you created me, you created us. And Lord, I just thank you for that. Thank you that you then continue to want to know us. You want to fellowship with us, that we were made to fellowship with you, and that you continue that desire. So Lord, I just lift up this time. I lift up this reading. I ask, Holy Spirit, for you to guide us. Guide this time. Open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to you. May you be the one we hear. No one else but you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I have to say, one of the things that I find very interesting is I feel bad for the people who are joining me in prayer in the mornings because my voice is definitely pretty rough first thing in the morning when the prayer's coming on. But I hope those of you who are listening find it beneficial. And the other thing I would say is if you do find these times, this podcast beneficial, if you'd share the information, share them with others, and let's see if we can grow this a little bit, that would be awesome. It is just kind of cool stuff as we have been heard and listened to on a consistent basis in 33 different countries. So it does have some reach. It's not massive, but there's some. But anyways, it'd just be cool if we could extend it and God would, his message, his words would go out to more and more people. So let's get into chapter 8. And one of the things about the letters and the Bible is so much of these scriptures are written without necessarily a defined beginning and end throughout them. The chapters and the verses were all put in place for the most part to really just help us find where people were talking about a particular statement or whatnot. So we're in chapter 8, yet it's actually the beginning. A lot of it is a continuation of chapter 7. And so I'm going to just jump up and start in chapter 7, verse 21, and then read from there. So chapter 7, verse 21. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I, myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So I really think about that. And I've been trying to focus a lot more on what am I actually putting into my mind? What am I putting into my mind and my intellect? What am I reading? What am I watching? So I've really moved to reading a lot of sermons from Spurgeon, from Tozer, from Kent Hughes. Just reading a lot more books that are based upon God versus the Viking garbage I used to read and the old fictional history stuff I read all the time. verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. However, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Isn't it cool that God wants Jesus to have brothers and sisters, and that's us? Kind of cool stuff. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pretty impactful. Pretty amazing. So, thinking about this, the adoption, in this chapter, how many times the Spirit is referred to? And that the Spirit is living in us. And that's one of the things that I wanted to think about with the help of A.W. Tozer. Tozer writes about verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." He writes, "One quality belonging to the Holy Spirit of great interest and importance to every seeking heart is penetrability." Hard word. He can penetrate mind. He can penetrate another spirit, such as the human spirit. He can achieve complete penetration of an actual intermingling with the human spirit. He can invade the human heart and make room for himself without expelling anything essentially human. The integrity of the human personality remains unimpaired. Only moral evil is forced to withdraw. And so it's interesting because I've read, and I wasn't sure if it was Tozer, if it was Spurgeon or Charles Stanley, or anyways, one of them, who talked about one of the reasons that we were made in God's image is that the Spirit then could live in us, which meant that God could fellowship with us. If we were a dog, well, God doesn't inhabit the dog because the dog isn't made in God's image. But we are spiritual, and therefore God inhabits us through the Spirit. Tozer continues, "The metaphysical problem involved here can no more be avoided than it can be solved. How can one personality enter another? The candid reply would be simply that we don't know. But a near approach to an understanding may be made by a simple analogy borrowed from the old devotional writers of several hundred years ago. We place a piece of iron in a fire and blow up the coals. At first, we have two distinct substances, iron and fire. When we insert the iron in the fire, we achieve the penetration of the iron. And we have not only the iron in the fire, but we have the fire in the iron as well. They are two distinct substances, but they have commingled and interpenetrated to a point where the two have become one. In some such manner does the Holy Spirit penetrate our spirits. In the whole experience, we remain our very selves. There is no destruction of substance, which remains a separate being as before. The difference is that now the Spirit penetrates and fills our personalities, and we are experientially one with God." And that is why I can't read Tozer when I'm on the Peloton or I'm very distracted. Tozer requires me to have full attention because of his topics and the way he thinks about things. Well, with that, let's go back to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for this. Thank you for your word. Thank you for talking to us. Thank you for your Spirit and for your Spirit indwelling with us. I just ask that you, Holy Spirit, would guide us this day. Be with us. Hold us close. May we love you, Father, as a child loves his daddy. I just pray that we would love you with our whole being, and that we could love our neighbors as ourselves, because it's you, Holy Spirit, who's loving them for us. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And I'm grateful for that. I just praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray in your name. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.